Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Let me get this podium down where I can see you. That one in Fort Worth is just like right up here. It's almost uncomfortable. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, sorry. Matthew chapter 21. Well, God is doing great things, amen?
Amen.
He's always doing great things. He hasn't quit doing great things.
Amen.
Of course, you know, we're about to celebrate, as we do every year. Every year we celebrate. God told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover, the deliverance, every year. Amen. He told them, forever in your generations, remember and celebrate this. But you shall celebrate this Passover. What is it? The lamb slain to cover your sins. Right? And so now we have the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus. We still celebrate the Passover. We're being passed over. But we're being passed over because Jesus has covered our sins with His own blood.
Amen.
And this is once for all. There's no more need for a daily sacrifice, for an annual sacrifice, because Jesus Christ once for all has covered your sin. So powerful. You know, I need to remember that every single day. I need to remember that God is for me every single day. He's not against me any day. God is always for me, on my side. Hallelujah. And remembering that, meditating on that, walking with Him, just like Jesus was walking with His disciples on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, is that He was walking with them and He was not criticizing them. He was interested to hear what they had to say about all the sad things that had happened in those days, you know, in those recent days. He was, wow, that is amazing. You remember, he says, they asked him, he said, are you not from here? Are you not from around here? Do you not know of these things? Well, tell me more. Because they were depressed. They were low. But Jesus had already risen from the dead. And He was walking with them. He was already walking with them. You know, Jesus is walking with you. He is with you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So let's remember today that the Holy Spirit, Jesus put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that He would walk with you. He is tangibly, truly walking with you and me today. See, people don't understand that. People don't know that. People don't know that that's what He's doing. Amen? All right. Let's look here at, and you can look at Matthew 21, or you can look at Mark chapter 11, or John chapter 12, or Luke chapter 19. And you can see all of these things Luke chapter 19. And you can read various iterations of the story that we're going to read today about Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem, you know, and how many things and various things that He was doing. And the various disciples read those things or recounted those things. And it's not that they were different in the things that happened. It's just the recounting of the things are different because people see things and people emphasize things. If you read a book that somebody writes about an event, you read about Bonhoeffer or you read about Luther, are any of those books the same? Those books are not the same because people looked at different items and different things in their lives that were important and impactful to them. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all looked at different places. So we can't just say, well, that wasn't the same, and that wasn't the same, and that wasn't the same. No, what did those guys hear to write? Say, for instance, what are you hearing to write? What are you hearing from the Lord today? Are you going to hear the same thing as Raul hears today? Because Raul has a different life, a different experience. He's got a different wife. He's got different children than you. Will and Kathy, they got different children than me. They hear the Lord for their family in particular and distinctly. Amen? And sometimes not so distinctly. Yeah, when the Lord says, yeah, just wait on that one. And you want to, I don't want to wait on that one. I need an answer right now. Well, he said if you had needed an answer right now, you would have it. But you don't necessarily need an answer right now. The answer, what you need is me. Amen? What you need is me. You don't need an answer. You need me. So I need to walk with the Lord. I need to be at peace and patience. You know, in Romans chapter 5, where he talks about, you know, that we have access, but it also talks about the fact that patience plays a great part in your walk with the Lord. He wants you to relax. He wants you to not be stressed out. Amen?
He's talking to me.
I didn't even know you was here. Good, honey, good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. No. It's right. Just how many know? Yes, the 6 days before your 6 days before your sermon is all the material is flowing your way. That's right. All your fears and all your gripes and all your complaints. Amen. Because the Lord loves you, and he's working on the inside of you. So look here at chapter 20. We'll look at Matthew chapter 21. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that when we read the word, when we read your promise, that you speak to us. We hear your voice through the word of God. We hear your voice. We thank you that you lead us, you guide us, you direct us through your promises and through the reading of the scripture, not only on Sunday morning, but daily. Even if we don't hear a word specifically, we know how to, we're learning how to hear your voice, the tenor of your voice. Amen. The peace of your voice. In Jesus' name. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, they were coming out of Jericho. Let me back up a little bit here. Look back in chapter 20, verse 17. It says, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way. Because this chapter, you backed up, chapter 20, verse 17. So Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. How many know Jerusalem is up? It's high. It's a hill. It's a defensible city. So that's what you want when you want a capital. You want a defensible city, especially in the days of swords, horses, and spears, and all that kind of thing, and armies that are, you know, that have no mechanical means. You want to be able to shoot your arrows down on the invaders. You know, you want to have a high up. You know, you want to be able to pour boiling water down on them. You know, you want to have an advantage. So Jerusalem is up. And Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart, so he took them aside. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed. Wow, he's going to tell them this right now, just before we get there to Jerusalem. We go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. Write those down. To mock, to scourge, and to crucify him the third day, and the third day he shall rise again. Well, boy, that was a quick prophecy. That was a quick prophetic word. Just so you guys know, we're going up to Jerusalem, and here's what's going to happen. Here's what you're going to expect. Then, of course, we have next the story about Zebedee's sons coming up. And, hey, by the way, you know, they just got this word from Jesus. Hey, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be, you know. The part that they got was, hey, I'm going to be risen again. Hey, by the way, once that happens, do you mind if we could sit on your left hand and your right hand? So we really didn't discuss the fact that Jesus was going to be mocked and scourged and crucified. We just decided, hey, here's an opportunity. These guys were basically entrepreneurs. You know, here's an opportunity. Jesus, when you get done with all that, could we sit on your left hand and your right hand in the kingdom? So Jesus is talking about being crucified. Jesus is talking about giving up his life for the world. Now, it's not a guilt trip, but what it is this is his mission. His mission is not the part at the end. His mission is the part right now. He's fixing to walk into. What is my mission today? What has the Lord put on me to do today? So many times, you know, we're looking way forward, and the Lord wants you to just look at one foot in front of you. What is Psalms 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, it's a lamp unto my feet. What do you need a lamp unto your feet for? To see what's immediately ahead of you. I want to see I want the Lord to show me immediately what's ahead. Not so I can avoid it. Well, yeah, so I can avoid it. But so I know how to walk. So I know how to walk. I know where to walk. Jesus knew exactly where to walk. He knew where he was walking. Every single day he knew where he was walking. Why? Because he was led by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. You remember? So he was led by the Spirit. You read through here, and he is led by the Spirit here. He is led by the Spirit there to go one place and another place, because that is how your mission is carried out, is listening to the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit every single day. We kind of tend to walk by the TV or walk by circumstances. You know, well, I don't watch TV. Well, then you may be led by circumstances. Here's one thing. Here's another thing. But you don't want to be led by circumstances. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? You want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Whether you're 12 or 18, 19, or whether you're 50, 60, 70, you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he has done. He's come in here to walk with you and to live on the inside of you. Jesus said that, you know, when he left, he said, don't go anywhere, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Wait until you be endued with power. Don't go running off somewhere. And don't try to do this on your own. This is exactly, you know, what the Holy Spirit comes to do, is to lead you. He that is led by, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's evident. It's an evidence. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, it's not that it makes you the son of God. It's the fact that it's a fruit. It demonstrates that these are the sons of God. They are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So Jesus told his disciples these things, and then he talks about this guy, the guys in the sons of thunder wanting to be over their brethren and be the top dogs in the kingdom of heaven, be on your left hand, your right hand. And it said down here, it said when the 10 heard it, when the rest of the guys were here heard about it, you know, Jesus, can we see, you know, set this up ahead of time? You know, it's like I remember, we were over at my in-law's house the other day. I said, Joe, because he used to do carvings and things like that. So I said, Joe, can I have that one? Someday when you don't need it anymore, when you're not looking at it anymore. You know, I mean, he's 89. You know, he is preparing to go to be with the Lord, you know. And so he said, put your name on it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know, well, it's not like that. You follow God. You're a servant. You don't just ask for the stuff. I was just asking for this. Hey, can I have that? It's a carving of an eagle. It's not distinct. It's not perfect. But it's something that my father-in-law did. And it's beautiful to me because he's a beautiful man of God. He loves the Lord. The guy can't pray for dinner without crying. You know, I mean, he just loves Jesus. We're very close. And Jesus says here in verse 25 of chapter 20 of John, Matthew. But Jesus called them to him, and he said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, over the Gentiles, and they are great, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your minister." Word minister means servant, deacon, diakonos. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." If he's going to be a chief among you, let him be your servant. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister." Not to serve, be served, but to serve. "And to give his life a ransom for many." As a pastor, that's what you do. As a shepherd, that's what you do. You give your life, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He doesn't have a lot going on. The shepherd doesn't have a lot going on. He's giving his life for the sheep. He doesn't have his own, you know, agenda. It's a bunch of sheep? Are you kidding me? I mean, he could probably be out, you know, doing lots of fun things. But he's stuck out here like David was stuck out there in the back 40, you know, caring for the sheep. You know, because the sheep are troubled. They got difficulties. Amen. But Jesus gave his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for me. Thank God. Thank God he gave his life for me. Amen. He's changing. He's working on the inside of me. He's pulling burrs off of me and getting me out of bull nettle all the time. You know, Jesus is always getting me out of trouble. How many know Jesus is getting you out of trouble every single day? That's his joy, is to get you out of trouble. Kind of like your kids. You love to get your kids out of trouble. Well, I don't know about that. No, you love to get your kids out of trouble. You love to see your kids thriving, you know. And so you want to minister to them. Okay, verse 29, "As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him." So they were coming up to Jerusalem to come up from Jericho. So they happened to be stuck out in Jericho there for a while. So they're coming up from Jericho. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the way." Giving you here's kind of a walkthrough how this day progressed. Okay, this is a week ago from today. This is a week ago from today. This is, you know, Palm Sunday, obviously. Then when Jesus went up to Jerusalem, it's right before the Passover. It's when the people are preparing for the Passover. They're bringing the lambs into the city to prepare for their sacrifices, to prepare to bring their sacrifices in so that their sins can be forgiven. It's a big deal. This is a big part. This is the big celebration. I mean, you know, that we celebrate the resurrection of our lamb. But the Jewish people following the law, bringing in the lamb, the perfect lamb, the lamb to be slain for their sin, that the blood would be cast upon the altar and their sins would be forgiven. I mean, the priests are working. I mean, they're working overtime, you know, checking lambs and slaughtering lambs, cooking lambs, you know, and people are coming into Jerusalem by the thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people coming into this city, you know, to do this. "So they departed from Jerusalem. Great multitude followed him." Now this is just a multitude following Jesus. This is not there's a great multitude anyway, but coming into the city, but they were following Jesus, a great multitude. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the side of the road, by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, you Son of David.'" So they'd heard about Jesus. People coming in and going out. Jesus had probably passed by where they sat, you know, from coming in and out of Jerusalem. "Jesus passed by and cried out, saying, 'David, have mercy on us, O Lord, you Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them." Oh, stop. Yeah, Jesus, it's Jesus. He's coming by, you know, and he's teaching and he's with his disciples. He's a celebrity. How many know we got preachers who are celebrities? These men of God who love Jesus, but they become celebrities. Amen. So is that on the preacher? Well, it could be, but is that on people? Because people like a celebrity, don't they? It's easier to put somebody up on a pedestal so that you can knock them down. So you can, that's a good idea, right? So basically, they can fulfill all your dreams and fantasies about somebody wonderful and great, or you can knock them down and rise up another one because you're in charge. You're in charge of the celebrities, who's up and who's down. Now it's Twitter. Twitter decides who a celebrity is, and they wipe them out. Wipe people out or pump them up. Newspapers, they pump people up. Back in the 50s and 60s, William Randolph Hearst heard about Billy Graham preaching the Crusades. He was known in the places where he showed up, but all of a sudden, William Randolph Hearst writes a memo to somebody, says, Puff Graham, P-U-F-F, Puff Graham. What'd that mean? That means make him a star. Talk about him in the news. Put him on a pedestal. What'll happen? That'll sell more news. Sell more newspapers. Sell more books. Right? So all of these things you can do. So Jesus is coming along and people are building him up. Hey, this is Jesus coming. Well, we're going to find out something happens later in the week. How fickle the people are. Huh? What'd they say later in the week? Crucify him. They heard a story. They heard a narrative. How many know we can hear all kinds of narratives? Huh? Do we hear all kinds of narratives everywhere? Don't believe. Don't believe. Jesus said later, he said, you're going to hear many things in Matthew 24. He's going to talk about, you're going to hear many things about many people rising up, many messiahs rising up. Jesus is here. He came back. He is here in the inside. He's here outside. He's up on the mountain. He's down in the valley. He says, don't listen to it. We have so much that's involved in prophecy today. Amen. People chase and follow after prophecy. Jesus gave us prophetic words. When you see it pop up, when you see something happen, when you see it, say, amen. Don't write a book about it. People can write books. That's fine. What I'm saying is don't become involved. Don't become so involved in these things that you forsake just telling somebody else about Jesus, that you forget walking in the presence of the Lord and worshiping Him today. Amen? So all of these things, all of these prophetic gyrations that people do. We write a series of books. Here we are. Series of books. Series of movies. Left Behind. All of these things. Walk with the Lord. Amen. Don't be so involved in the prophetic. Well, 30% of the Bible is prophetic. Well, fine. Walk with the Lord. Walk with Jesus. Hear His voice. Know who He is. Here the multitudes are following Jesus. Jesus! They're probably selling, what do they sell? Food trucks. They got food trucks. I'm sure they have food trucks on the way. The original food trucks were, back in the old days, people would bring food, set up a little table, set up places where they would get things ready. Because why? There were people there who were hungry. There were people there who were thirsty. People there who needed a remembrance of the event. You remember the when Paul and I think it's Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, one of the guys, they were in the city of Ephesus, and great is the goddess of Diana, and all that, and then they come into another community, great is Jupiter. They had the guy that was the head of the Jupiter clan, fan club, and the Jupiter merchandising association, but then he saw potential for other income. He saw these guys working miracles. He said, well, this guy's Paul and this guy's Mercury, because he's a Jupiter and this guy's Mercury. One's the spokesman and one's the guy who lays hands on people. So they're going to start selling things and promoting these guys who just happened to come into town. They just happen to come into town and they go, okay, we're going to switch our allegiance from Jupiter, the Jupiter and Mercury merchandise, over to the Paul and Barnabas merchandise. We're going to have the Jesus merchandise. Huh?
Get some t-shirts.
Yeah, t-shirts. You bet. You know, sell little ice cream on a stick. I'd probably not ice cream, but something. Sell something on a stick, and you know, you might remind you of Jesus. Remind you of your event for the day. I don't begrudge anybody doing all this stuff. You show up to the thing. Maybe you want to have. I got a little ark on my fridge. Okay. I got a little ark. Janet and I went to the ark. Luke and I went to the ark. You know, been there twice. I'm supporting the place up there in. You know where the ark? You know where they found the ark, right? Well, try guess again.
Kentucky.
That's right. They found the ark. It's in Kentucky. You can go see it. It's air conditioned. It is really powerful. It is awesome. You can go in there. You know, you can go to seminars. They got a big old room, bigger than this. They got a big old barn. Auditorium, you can go in there. And so you got all kinds of things. They got the Creation Museum up there, not far from it. You know, I know we got our own here, but this thing is high tech. So you're up there, you're finding the ark, and I got me a little magnet thing. It's got water in it. It's got a little ark in it. And that ark always stays afloat. It does. It's amazing. It's Janet, tell them about the ark.
It's there now.
It's there on the fridge. That's it.
You went to this place, really?
I did twice.
It is awesome. You'll
okay. Because you're being a little sarcastic, and I got a friend going too.
Yeah.
They say it's great.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Okay. It is
great. You're discouraging me.
Don't discourage. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. No. No. I'm just saying. Don't be excited about go to the ark. That's fine. You know, it is what it is, but it's not the ark.
Right.
It's something they built in the middle of the thing. It's a teaching tool. Teaching tools are okay.
But it'll put the miracle in you if you see it and know that how many animals were in there,
mm-hmm.
and how did he feed them for a whole year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't even put that much food in the bottle.
That's right.
Well,
yeah.
We don't even know the miracle.
We don't know the miracle.
It helps stimulate your mind.
Right. Uh huh. Yeah.
Well, it is awesome.
Amen.
I'm
just bringing. Go ahead. And go to the ark. It's okay.
You're just saying it's not more important than hearing.
It's not important, more important than hearing the Holy Ghost for today.
Amen.
Amen. Hearing the Holy Ghost for today. So Jesus had these two blind men that were yelling at him. Said, keep quiet. This Jesus is here. Don't mess up the show. You know, because this is the multitude that's following Jesus. Stop it. Quit. Shut up. Jesus is fixing to speak, you know. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, Jesus! And Jesus stood still. It's like those guys who came in and busted open the roof, you know. You know, here's Jesus. They're trying to get to him. They're going to bust open the roof, lower the guy down. Did Jesus rebuke them? No. He said, oh, look at their faith. Praise the Lord. And have mercy on us, they said. And Jesus stopped, stood still, and called them and said, well, what do you want? How about that? When Jesus would call you and say, what do you want? What do you want that I should do for you? And they said to him, Lord, that our eyes would be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight, and they followed him. This is all on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus was always busy. There's always something for you to do. There's always something for you to do. Amen? God has always got something. You're walking along every single day. God has always got something for you because you walk in the Spirit. You're a person who has been born from above. You've been commissioned by the living God to declare the love of Jesus. Now, what's he going to tell you to do? I don't know. I don't know what he's going to tell you to do. I don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. You might be at McDonald's. You might be on top of a roof. You might be over in the other part of the world. We were down there. We were over at where our house is getting built yesterday. And we had opportunity to pray for the guy who is doing our concrete. He pulls up with a big old truck with a dozer on the back. We're just showing the land to a couple of friends of ours who happened to come over, and here comes this guy driving up. Well, he's got diabetes, he's got dialysis 3 times a week. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he's still working, doing. I mean, he's got jobs everywhere, pouring concrete for foundations, and he's busy trying to sell me my driveway. I have to pay do extra for the driveway while he's trying to sell me the driveway. You know, you need to let me do that while I'm here. So, but we had opportunity to pray for him, to have an opportunity to minister to him, that the Lord can touch him, the Lord can heal him. So it's so powerful. That's these things. You know, Jesus walking along. Gina! You know, what? Can we see? Could we receive our sight? Sure. So that's what you're there for. You're the same. You're sent on the same mission. Amen. To meet needs. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. All right, now. And they did. They received their sight. Jesus had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. And he touched their eyes. And then when they drew near to Jerusalem, here they come. You know, sometimes it takes you a while to get where you're going. People will slow you down. Amen? Life will slow you down. Amen? Don't complain. You know? You know, people complain a lot. Right? You know, don't complain. Let the Holy Spirit just lead you. I know you had plans. The Bible said that. It said man plans his way. And what? The Lord directs your steps. Oh, Jesus, he got in my way. He slowed me down. How come we had to do that? You know, there were things that slow us down. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Even when things aren't going the way you planned them. We got whacked last Sunday afternoon. Somebody whacked the side of our car. Yeah, it's probably my fault, you know. Of course, I didn't hit me. Somebody else hit me. So we have to leave it up to the insurance company to decide. But rejoice. That guy was upset. The guy was upset. You know? Yeah, he was upset. He was using choice words. You know, he didn't like the fact that I had slowed him down. I got so many more things to do today. I didn't need this. Okay. You know? So, praise the Lord. Well, here's my stuff. You know, and I started to say something about, you know, well, here's where we were coming. He said, I don't want to hear anything. You know, he's just upset. People get upset. Do you ever get upset? I get upset. The Holy Spirit says, don't get upset.
That's true.
Holy Spirit says what? Rejoice always.
Count it all joy.
Rejoice always. Count it all joy. I don't want to count this joy. This is one. I cannot count this joy. I am not. And then you say the opposite. Then you come again, then you rebel against God. I will not count this joy. No. Rejoice. Rejoice. Because it destroys the devil. You know, rejoicing destroys the devil. Because he wants you to be angry. He wants you to be upset. He wants you to be in turmoil. And the Holy Spirit just says, rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. So in the middle of that thing, I got to rejoice. Amen.
Was it difficult?
Was it difficult? Probably.
Yeah.
You know, but is it difficult? Is it difficult? That's a good question. Is it difficult? Is it a work?
No. It's a rest.
Are you doing it because God is to be pleased, or is God saying rejoice always because that's where life is?
Yeah.
He's recommending it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, you didn't rejoice, I'm going to give you 5 lashes. Or I'm going to give you 5 strikes this week. No, it's not that God is rebuking you or counting that towards salvation or counting that to your credit. He's telling you where life is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. This is where life is. Not complaining, not getting him back, but rejoicing in the middle of it because that sets you free. You shall know the
truth,
and the truth will make you free. So, the truth has made me free. So, if I agree with that and receive that, then I'm free. I'm no longer bound by what just happened. Right? Because the car is going to burn, the road's going to burn, I'm the only thing that's going to be saved. You know? Is because Jesus is saving me. Everything else is, you know, Whether I get this house built or not, Janet, we'll get the house built. Whether this house gets built or not, it'll, yeah. Thank God. Yes, Janet's house, by the way, everybody knows. Is when you're, so don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, the enemy wants me to worry about it. You know, well, what are you going to, hope you get enough money to build that house because you should have counted the cost, but then a bunch of other costs came up too. So all of these things, you want to count the cost of, and the Lord, you felt the Lord say, you'll move forward. But then there's all kinds of, you know, we're going to the other side. You remember that story? Jesus, you know, put them in a boat, going to the other side. And, well, there was a big storm in the middle of the lake, you know? And so there's a big storm in the middle of the thing. And I said, well, Jesus said we was going to the other side, but I don't know if we're going to make it. How many know you're going to make it? You're going to make it. You've already made it. You have already made it. You've already made it.
Amen.
Amen? I've already made it to the other side. I am living in heaven right now. I am already living in heaven. So here we go, Jesus. And they drew near to Jerusalem and they were come to Bethphage, which is the land of figs, the land of unripe figs. What do you think of that? Saying to them, go into the village, saying to his disciples, go into the village opposite you. Immediately you shall find a donkey, and a colt, her colt, with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. Apparently somebody Jesus knew who had donkeys and colts. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell you the daughter of Zion, out of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt of the foal, the foal of an ass, the baby colt. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them, laid their clothes upon them, their jackets and such, to make a saddle, make a place for Jesus to sit. And a very great, well, now we went to from a multitude to a very great multitude. So as you're coming into Jerusalem, you've got the gates of Jerusalem, and you got that gate. You know, it's like going into if you're going into the ark. They got lines like, you know, waiting for the tickets. Then they got lines waiting for the buses to go up to the ark because they're smart enough to put the ark up over the hill, back beyond, way past the road. Because when I went up there first, Luke and I were going to go, and I'm the kind of guy who says, oh, look, there it is. Take a picture. Zoom in on it. Take a picture. Okay, we saw it. Didn't even have to pay. And go on to the, drive on to the next town. You know, I'll do that, you know, especially if it's like $42, you know, to get in and walk around the ark, you know. But they're pretty smart. They put this thing way up over the hill. You can't even see it, you know, until you have to go into the place. Tell you what.
They got your $42.
It's all marketing. They got my $42. That's right. That's it. All right. I got pictures. If y'all want to see them, I'll show them to you. Amen. I'll save you some money. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, okay, the Lord has need of them. Okay, so he's sitting upon this donkey. Verse 8, and a very great multitude spread out their garments in the way. Along the way there. Others cut down branches from the trees. That's where we get, of course, Palm Sunday. You know, I told everybody this morning, said, yeah, let's just Palm Sunday. Just lift up your palms. Praise the Lord. And they cut down branches from the trees, verse 8, and spread them in the way. And the multitudes went before and followed, and that followed cried, saying, as we sang this morning, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, Hosanna. I don't know if they use that tune, but blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So these crowds had been following Jesus, you know, when he would come in near Jerusalem. and they had been part of his ministry, and seeing the miracles that he did, and hearing the preaching that he preached back in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and seeing him as he went from town to town. And so they cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. They had heard the prophecies that the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. And now they believe that he has arrived because he is performing miracles. He is loving the poor. He is ministering to them. They have heard the scriptures recited from many in the synagogues. Now, not from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they've heard many of these prophecies from those who they have known, those who have been long in the faith. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Now this tells you that not everybody knew who this was, right? You have a multitude who is following him, but then you have them come into Jerusalem and they're saying, and once they get into the city, because Jesus had not been in the city very often. He had not been in the city of Jerusalem very often. And when he was, where did he come from? Galilee. He came from Nazareth of Galilee. He came from Nazareth. He's up around the Galilee. He's in Judea. He's in Samaria. You know, he would come into Jerusalem from time to time, but he would always hide. He would always be hidden. And so when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved because they saw this crowd. You know, they saw this hubbub, you know. And it says, who is this? Who is this? Because, again, we're looking for a celebrity. Well, who's this? You know, we hadn't heard of this guy. He seems quite popular. Let's follow him around. Find out what he's got. What's his shtick? Okay? And then he says, and the multitude said, here's the multitude that's talking about him, said, Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them. Okay. Well, apparently he had some gumption, you know. He went into the temple and started flipping over tables and throwing over the tables of the money changers. You know, Jesus was not afraid because the Holy Spirit told him what to do. The same Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus is upon you. So go in there and knock over some tables. No, just whatever the Lord tells you to do. You may knock over some tables. What are the tables? Traditions. Tables are traditions of men. Here, come on down here. Well, we need to exchange your money for, you know, you don't have the. Oh, your lamb is no good. We got to buy your lamb. Of course, they're going to sell that lamb over here. So they're going to buy your lamb for cheap. It's kind of like a used car. They'll buy your lamb for cheap, sell you a new lamb at a premium, you know, and whether that lamb is right or wrong, they've got to deal with the priest. If it's got the right stamp on the lamb, they'll take it. So, but everybody has made a little bit of money. And so all of the laws of God have now become a marketplace because men like to make money. Whatever God designed to show you His love and show you His mercy and show you His goodness, we'll turn it into a marketplace. Amen. We'll turn it into a marketplace. Don't do that. Yeah. Are we good? Are we good or better than somebody else? I don't want to know. Do we sell anything? No, but we save taxes. You know, we skip paying taxes to the government because we give books away. You know, we give them away just covering the cost of the printing. Why? Because we want the Holy Spirit. We want people to get the Word of God. We want people to get the Word of God. You know, if you give, and it's an offering. If you give, it's an offering. Praise the Lord. So. Anything you give, it just goes back into the ministry. Well, I guess you could say that of anything people sell, you know. But it's because it's everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. I mean, if you go pick up a book on the back table, you're fine. You know, we let you know that it costs a little money to put it together, and if you sow into that, what you do is you replace your book for somebody else to come pick up. So that's that. You know, so you're just loving somebody else by giving a gift. So Jesus went in there and he knocked over all the money changers, all the tables and all the money changers, and overthrew all of that, and then the seats that sold the doves, because it had become a marketplace for just, you know, here's how we do business. We do business on God. You know, God created a thing. Well, let's do some business. And he said to them, it is written. Now, where's your heart? Where's your heart? You know, because Jesus perceived this is all about money. If there weren't money to be made, these guys would not be here. If there were not money to be made, I mean, there was an exchange. There may have been early on, there's an exchange going on. You know, is that somebody came into town. They couldn't carry 15 things. You know, maybe it's a lady who's incapable and can't carry a heavy load, and she would, you know, she had some money and she could purchase something. But again, what's the motivation behind all of this? You know, is it to bless the people? Is it to help the people? Or is it because you decided, man, this is great. This is a great way to make some cash and carry on the family business. So no, where's your heart? Where's your heart? When you're dealing with money, where's your heart when you're dealing with the things of the kingdom of God? Is it to worship God and to bless people? So he cast out all those that sold the money changers, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of the sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. My house shall be called a house of prayer. It's kind of like, where was the prayer? Where was the prayer? It's just, when you walked in the door, it was just like, you know, It was just like a flea market. So where's the house of prayer? Father, we thank you that you just lead us to walk in the presence of God, to demonstrate the love of God, to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven wherever we are, to rebuke in season. Take a rebuke yourself. You know, Lord, where am I? What am I doing? Where's my heart? No matter what I'm doing, whether it's going to church or, you know, going to a meeting. So we go to a meeting to, you know, because we like the music or we like, you know, whatever. You know, what am I? You know, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what you're doing. Amen. And the blind man, or the blind and the lame, came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. These are the chief priests and the scribes. They were very unhappy. And they said to him, they came up to Jesus, do you hear what they're saying? These are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, I hear them. Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise? Psalm 8, verse 2. And he left them, and he went out into the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. So Bethany, of course, is where the city where he would go and stay occasionally. And he would go and be a part of, with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, you know, out in the city of Bethany. Just outside the city, it's about 2 miles outside the city of Jerusalem. So Jesus didn't stay in the city of Jerusalem. He actually would go out and stay out in the countryside. Now in the morning, He returned into the city and he was hungry. Jesus? I thought he was the Son of God. Does he need to eat? He was hungry. Jesus was hungry. Do you know Jesus was hungry? He was like you. He actually would eat. And he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, walking down the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves only, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you from now till forever." And immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How quickly, or how soon, is the fig tree withered away?" Now, is it talking about figs? Or is it talking about something bigger? Talking about the Jewish state, the Jewish church, the priests, the law. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith," I would not even talk about prophecy, "if you have faith and doubt not," he's just talking about the specific instance of the tree. "If you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do what is done to this fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, 'Be you removed and be you cast into the sea,' it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." That's a big statement from Jesus. I'm a hoping and a praying. How many times do you find that you're hoping and a praying? Hoping and a wishing. I want to walk with Jesus in such a way that when I pray, I receive those things which I've asked for. And Jesus said that is here. He demonstrated it and then he did it. And then he talked about it. He said, no man eat fruit out of you forever again. And the fruit tree just died. It just withered. Now I know there's another story in another one of the Gospels that said, they came back the next day and there's the tree. Well, this one says it was gone immediately. And so he says, "All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." What's believing? Everything that Jesus did in me, through me, for me. The same Jesus that was raised from the dead, who baptized you with the Holy Spirit, who said, these things and greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. This is who we are. This is because the living God has already come to dwell on the inside of you. We have an expectation. We have an expectation that what we ask in prayer, we will receive. Well, it doesn't seem like this is always happening. Stop it. You're busy examining. You're not listening to the Bible. You're not listening to the Word of God. You're examining your experience. No. In the name of Jesus, he said, "What things soever you pray for, ask for, in prayer believing, you shall receive them." So I need to meditate on the Holy Spirit. Meditate on the Lord. Say, "Father, thank you that what things soever you put on my heart to pray, I'm going to receive them. I'm going to receive them." If I don't, if it doesn't appear that it occurred, does that make the Word of God wrong? Or does that mean I just missed something somewhere? I'll choose I just missed something. Amen? The Word of God is always true. God's promises are always yes and amen. So people want to look at that and they want to take exception to the promises of God. No, God created the heavens and the earth. He created you and all that in them is. He created you and he's ministering to you. He's changing you. He's transformed you from death unto life. And so we haven't yet figured out what death unto life is. We one by one, day by day, as we meditate upon the Lord, we're hearing his voice. We're going to see the glory of God. Amen? Don't be afraid. Do not be weary in well doing, knowing that in due season you will reap if you faint not. What is faint not? Faint not is no. Whatever it appears in front of me, I believe the Lord has already promised, and He's going to fulfill that which He's promised. Amen. You know, I don't need to know all the details. All I know is God has already called it. He's already won. He already has the victory, and I already have the victory. And my heart is to reach somebody else to know Jesus. I want to be a witness to somebody else to win them to Jesus. But I'm a terrible witness, you know. Well, what are they turn me down? You know, that was a waste of time. What was it? You don't know that. Or is it a waste of time to reach out and share Jesus with somebody? You know, maybe they just decided and said, no, I don't want to do that. Or I've tried that once before, or whatever it might be. But Lord, show us how to minister to somebody. Show us how to speak the Word of God in season. Show us how to be a witness to somebody. Verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, he's come back into the city, the chief priests of the people came to him as he was teaching, and he said, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered and said to them, I will all ask you also one thing. If you tell me in likewise, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where was it? Was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say to us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people. Well, there's a godly group of people. We fear the people. So because, see, the chief priests and the scribes had jobs. And they had a marketplace of their own. And it seemed that the marketplace would be... was dwindling, and they were having difficulties trying to keep the thing afloat. The people were not showing up on Saturday morning, you know, or they were out, you know. Where were you last Sabbath? I was out listening to Jesus. Oh, you should have been in church. Well, you guys don't have much to say. Or when you do have much to say, it all points to Him. Every scripture you guys read points to Jesus. That's their problem. They would read every week they read the Torah. Every week in the synagogue they read the Torah through the Torah every year. So they're reading through the Torah, and oh, that sounds like Jesus. It sounds like Jesus. It sounds like Jesus. And these guys weren't getting it. How come these bad guys are not coming to church? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, and all the people hold John as a prophet. And when they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said to them, neither tell I you, but by what authority I do these things. So Jesus is coming into the city to be examined. Jesus is coming into the city to be examined by the priests, by the people. He's coming in, and the living God is preparing him for the day of his crucifixion. But they come in, as he's coming in, he is pure, clean, a spotless lamb, ready for the sacrifice. So Jesus is our perfect sacrifice lamb to be killed. And this lamb is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Once for all. He has only one time to be sacrificed. He never sinned. He was perfect in every way. He was born of a virgin. Born for this purpose. These lambs, the lambs that were cultivated, were cultivated for this purpose. Spotless lambs, blemish-free lambs. This is the type of Jesus Christ, the spotless, pure Lamb of God. And they brought him in. God brought him in to the city to be destroyed and killed, and his blood shed for you and me. And he did what Jesus commanded him to do, what the Father commanded him to do. He did what the Father commanded him to do. And he took your sin. He took my sin upon himself. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So Jesus, all of my sins are forgiven. Right now. All of them. Past, present, and future. Just receive his forgiveness today. I'm receiving it. Every single day. You know, we have a great, we've had a great message. You know, Pastor Jim is a great teacher. And we know that we don't have to perform and do things to please him, to please the Lord. But he's pleased by what? Faith alone. But yet, daily, we're tempted. Daily, we're abused by daily thoughts, by daily circumstances. But immediately, the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to our heart. You are free. You are redeemed. You are not under condemnation. I love you. You are my son, my daughter. I love you. You are forgiven. My blood has cleansed you from all sin. Some people don't even know that they need cleansing. They just need, first of all, they need love. Well, here, let me tell you about Jesus. Well, you know, maybe they don't. They wouldn't even understand if you told them. First thing Jesus did was heal the blindness. That's the first thing Jesus did. He's healing the blindness. You run up to somebody, hey, have you heard about Jesus? And, you know, I just lost my job. I just lost a family member. Somebody just, you know, my husband just left me. What they need from Jesus is compassion. So, I want to be full of compassion. I want to be available to be full of compassion. You know, that's what people loved about Jesus. That's what people loved about Jesus, is he had compassion. You, listen, well, that's not me. I'm more of an evangelist type. No, that's just you like that part. But Jesus had compassion. He looked out upon the whole city. Another version of this story. It says when Jesus was coming in to town, he looked upon the city and he wept over the city. He wept over the city because they were lost. The city was lost. Not because they didn't have enough religion, but because they didn't know the God in heaven who loved them. That's why you are in positions where you are. You're in places where you are because you, it's always one-on-one. It's always individual. It's always one-on-one. It's that somebody needs to hear and needs to have the compassion of God from you. You are imbued with power. Part of the power is the compassion. Compassion is a gift of God because we're selfish. Amen? Compassion is the power of God. It's the love of God. Jesus spoke to the people in parables so that they began to listen to him. You may have to have a relationship with somebody that's, you know, not necessarily your favorite thing to do. But the Holy Spirit will use you. You know, and it's not every time. It's not every single encounter. But the Holy Spirit will use you. Rejoice evermore. Well, Father, we just love you and thank you for this word of God today. We thank you for the compassion of Jesus. He had compassion. We think about how Jesus came into the town and everybody was putting palm leaves down and all of these things, how they were lifting up Jesus. But Jesus came in right before he came into town. First thing, the last thing he did was he showed compassion on these men. So, Father, we ask you to operate, work in us through compassion. Father, show us. Slow us down. Show us how to walk with compassion. Not as a work, not as a performance, but when the opportunity arises, when we have a place that you are manifesting yourself by the Holy Spirit and giving us wisdom. So we just love you and give you praise. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.